In the aftermath of the Christchurch massacre, the Morrison government is cracking down on social media giants. The government has announced that it will establish a task force to address the problems of terrorist material on social media platforms. So execs from Facebook and Google and Twitter and other social media companies were warned in a meeting with the government ministers today that the government would be prepared to introduce legislation on the issue if they keep delaying action. Attorney General Christian Porter addressed the media after the meeting today.
This was an opportunity to dissuade the government from a view that legislation may be needed to deal with that emergent issue. And I must say that as an effort to discourage us from that view, this was thoroughly underwhelming.
Earlier today, I spoke with former Managing Director of Facebook for Australia and New Zealand, Stephen Sheila. I began by asking him whether he thought a big stick approach would work.
Look, I think we can try it. I think the problems of the internet are beyond just Facebook and Google at the moment. I think there's these negative externalities, not just live streaming, but I think the kind of the hate, the filter bubbles, the kind of tribalism that lives online now that's kind of gotten to a level that's difficult for any company to control fully. I think the big stick isn't necessarily going to change that problem, but I think it is a good place for the government of Australia and New Zealand to start and try to sit down with the tech giants to see what can be done, you know, short of much stricter regulation.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison addressed the media today ahead of the meeting, and he said, "We want the same rules to apply in the online social media world that exist in the real world." Is that possible?
I think in one sense it is very possible. You know, many people watching me right now will be managers or executives in companies, or they'll sit on boards. And, you know, if you create a product or service that harms or kills people, if you have a workplace that's unsafe and it's due to negligence on the part of management, you know, management in Australia and directors, they are personally liable. They can go to jail. And so in a sense, when you apply that to social media, you could say, well, the same rules could apply to any other industry in Australia if you make a product that's unsafe for the people that are using it.
Yeah, the Prime Minister actually said today that if you build a car and you sell it in Australia, it has to meet with our standards of safety. Is that a fair comparison for how the internet giants, Facebook and Google, should work as well?
Look, I think it is a fair comparison. And the reason I say that is the benefits that we get from the automobile are, there's no question the net benefit to society is tremendous. But the negative externalities, if you will, the negative problems that the cars have had over the years, back in sort of the 1970s, they became so big that Australia started to crack down on drink driving, on speeding, on auto safety, on improving driver education. You know, we made a big push to try to reduce the negative effects of having unsafe cars on the road and unsafe drivers. And I think we're in the same point now with the digital giants that we need to really think hard about, you know, how do we manage these negative externalities?
So if Australia and New Zealand introduce laws that change the responsibilities of Facebook, but bigger markets like the US and the, you know, European Union don't, do you expect the company will abide by those regulations?
Well, look, I can't speak on behalf of Twitter or Facebook or Google. So one is, you know, I would expect that they will abide by the local laws. I think that's what every business, every global and respectable business should and must do. But I think you make a good point. The bigger issue is, you know, how do you regulate a global business that's in over 100 countries around the world when, you know, its head office sits in one country and perhaps that country doesn't have the same regulatory regime? I don't think you're going to see big change with the tech giants in terms of how they manage and moderate their platforms unless there are consequences for the boards and senior management in the U.S. for those businesses.
Is it time for Facebook to see itself as a publisher? I mean, you're the former managing director in Australia and New Zealand. What responsibilities does the company have for the content published on its site?
Yeah, look, I think a few years ago, I think you could line up a lot of people and say, hey, you know, the internet's a different kind of space and social media and these platforms are different types of platforms. They're not like traditional media. They don't create the content. They don't have journalists. They don't have editors. And I think that argument held true for a while. But I think in the last couple of years, we've reached a place where it's hard to sustain that argument. I don't think we necessarily call them publishers. I think they're a new beast, really. It's something we couldn't imagine before. We never imagined having platforms that had such global scale and at the same time had literally millions, if not billions, of creators of content going on those platforms every day. This is something we never imagined before. So I think we need a new lens to look at how we not just regulate them, but how we manage these negative externalities that come from the internet and really do a number of things. One is understand them a lot better. Right now, we don't have deep understanding of the problems that the internet causes, so we need to understand that a lot better. We need to invest in that research, and we need the tech giants to help us with that. I think the second is we need to then establish, you know, what's the acceptable level of bad stuff that were acceptable to communities around the world on the internet. And then the third is, you know, how are we going to measure that? What's the index that we use? I'm standing here in Melbourne today, and you know, I can tell you through a few clicks on my phone, I can tell you what the pollution index is. I can tell you how the traffic's flowing. I can understand what how the health system's performing in terms of epidemics or flu. You know, all that stuff, all that kind of data is available almost real time to tell you how does society being impacted by things that are going on at a systemic level. But I can't tell you today, you know, how bad is the internet in Melbourne, or you know, how toxic is the internet in Australia. And I think that's a problem that we need to start to understand. How do we measure this? What's the index by which we can measure it? And then we can come up with strategies that are really much more effective at managing it than simply kind of shooting at one individual problem at a time.
So from your understanding, how does Facebook moderate and remove this kind of extremist or terrorist content? Because lots of comparisons have been made about the way it can just rip off other content immediately, yet this delay happened with this Christchurch attack that's alarmed everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's two problems you need to think about here. So one is the question of, you know, if it's a live stream and it happens in real time, I think that's one sort of issue that needs to be dealt with. But the second one that's, I think, is actually the bigger issue, which is it's just the level of toxic content that sits not just on the social platforms, I should emphasize, but across the wider internet. And remember, Facebook and Google, big as they are not the entire internet. And so, you know, what do we believe is acceptable as a society in terms of the toxicity of that content? Now, the social media platforms, to their credit, are working very hard to moderate that content using technology, using human beings. But there's a lot of the rest of the web that has nobody trying to, you know, moderate that content. It doesn't have they don't have the resources and the money even to try to do it. So we need to think about that problem as well. In terms of how they deal with this sort of content, I mean, obviously there's two ways. One is through artificial intelligence and machine learning. The other is through human beings. We're at a point today where I would think clearly this isn't good enough, although I don't have a measure and index to tell me how good is good. I think we need to develop that. But clearly I would say, the community would say, it's not good enough. So, you know, Facebook, Google, and other platforms need to make much bigger investments into artificial intelligence and into human moderators. And it might be 10,000, 20,000, 50,000, you know, 100,000 moderators. If I was the prime minister, I would be asking Facebook, Google, Twitter, yeah, what's the number? How many do you need to hire? And then, you know, go out and hire them. I think that's one way to think about the problem.
So 69 minutes was how long it took them to take down this terrorist video during the Christchurch attack. Why did it take that long? I mean, I know you're not currently working at Facebook, but you were formerly. What failed there? Because it seems like such a basic task. Why would it take so long?
Look, as you say, I'm not inside Facebook. I don't know what happened at that moment in time. But clearly there was a failure or a slowness of the system, such as it's set up, to signal that this content was on the platform and it was happening live in real time. And that may, I'm just speculating here, but may have to do with the kind of the alarm system that Facebook has set in place, which may be around people, real human beings, actually saying this content's here and reporting it. That's one way, but that's always going to have a delay. The content's not going to pop up and then 1 second later somebody's reporting it to Facebook. There's going to be a delay. And then, of course, even if it's reported to Facebook, somebody or something has to deal with that report. Anybody who runs big businesses knows it takes time. It can take minutes or hours for something like that to happen. In one sense, I'm amazed it wasn't up for longer than it was, given the scale of the content that Facebook has to moderate and Twitter and Google have to moderate every single day.
Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen.
My pleasure.